One of the most negative and destructive, one of the most damaging midos that we know about is the mida of kina, the mida of jealousy, that sometimes people are dissatisfied with their own life because they're busy looking at somebody else's. And this is something that affects not only young people, it's something that destroys and consumes the lives of adults as well. And it's something that often debilitates people because they're so caught up with what other people are doing and with the jealousy that they feel for the successes of others that they may not have. You look in the Torah to the first story of Kina, and that is the story of Cain and Hevel. They each offer their own particular carbon. Cain and Hevel didn't offer the same thing, but Cain is now jealous that Hevel's carbon was accepted and his was not. He goes ahead and kills his brother. So if you would take Cain aside and ask him, well, you feel better now? What have you accomplished now that you killed your brother? Now that you were jealous of him, now that you feel bad about it, now that you killed him, what have you accomplished? Did God accept your carbon? No. So really, he accomplished nothing. But yet, this is the way we act sometimes when we have the experience of kina, when we have that feeling of jealousy, when we have that kind of dissatisfaction with our own lot in life. Often it consumes a person to the point that they'll do something that makes no sense, that really doesn't make them feel any better about it, that doesn't help the situation at all. But that's the human nature. So this is something that everybody suffers from at some point. This is something that's part of the human condition. This is what the Mishnah says, that is one of the elements that's motziyin asa'adam min ha'olam. It can actually destroy a person's life because you can get so consumed with it. What I find interesting is there's a discussion whether or not this applies even to malachim. Do angels also have this issue of kina? Are they also in a position where sometimes they feel jealous of others? Or do you say, no, angels are perfect and this is only an issue in the human condition? So you look at the beginning of this week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu vayitze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva vayelech Charana. Yaakov Avinu runs away. He goes to Charan. On his way there, vayifka b'makom vayalan sham. He goes to sleep. Where does he fall asleep? That happened to be Haram Moriah. That was the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he goes to sleep there. Vayachalom, and he has a dream. Vihinei sulam musav arza v'rosha magia hashamayim. And Yaakov Avinu sees that he has a sulam in front of him, and there's malachim olam v'yardimba. So there, the Gemara comments on that pasuk. The Gemara is in Maseches Chulin, that olim u'mistaklim b'diyukna shalmaila. Why were they going up and down the ladder? So some say, well, these were the malachim going to Eretz Yisrael and from Eretz Yisrael, but the Gemara has a different interpretation. Why were they going up and down? Because they were going up to the Kisei HaKavod. They were looking carefully. Is that Yaakov Avinu's face that we see on the Kisei HaKavod, and here he is down here? And they were looking back and forth to compare whether the two faces really were the same. And the Gemara says, once they realized that it really was identical, once they realized it was the Yaakov Avinu down here that they see up on the Kisei HaKavod, bo l'sechune, they wanted to kill him. Rashi writes there, why did they want to kill him? What did they have wrong? Rashi says, machmas hakina, because they were jealous of the fact that Yaakov Avinu's picture is one of the ones that is holding up the Kisei HaKavod, and theirs are not. So the Malachim were jealous, so to speak, of Yaakov Avinu, and they felt uncomfortable about the fact that here they had a chance to meet him, and they were upset that he was the one who was chosen to be on the Shechina, on the Kisei HaKavod. So here, it seems clear from the beginning of our parsha, the way the Gemara understands it, that even Malachim are plagued with this very unfortunate reality that there's kina in the world. Sometimes when we see something that we might not have, that we might covet, that we might want, and we're not given it, we feel very jealous of other people who have it, and we do not. The Medrash writes on our parsha as well, Amar Abi Abo, what happened in the story of Yaakov Avinu in our parsha? Mashal ben Malachim Shaya Yashan Agabi Arisa. You have a prince who's sleeping on a bed somewhere. Vayuzvuvim Shochnan Alav, and there are all kinds of insects, gnats flying around his head. Kivin Shaba Minikaso Shacha Alavu Minikaso Barchame Alav. Once the woman comes to nurse the child, now all the gnats run away. They're not going to bother the person who's sleeping anymore. Kach Betchila, so too over here. You have all these, so to speak, gnats, says the Medrash, all these flies flying around trying to cause damage to Yaakov Avinu, and the Ribono Shel Olam v'Hinei Hashem Nitzav Alav, God stands over him to protect him, and God says, you don't have a right to start up with my beloved Yaakov Avinu. So you see here that there's an uncomfortable situation. The Malachim are jealous, so to speak, of Yaakov Avinu, even though they are Malachim. How can you say such a thing? So it's a very surprising concept. Not only that, it's even more surprising, because if you look in the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, the Gemara has in Daf Pei Tes, when we had the experience of Kabbalah HaTorah. So before Kabbalah HaTorah, there was a major negotiation that went on in heaven. Are we really deserving of the Torah? So Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing with the Malachim themselves, and they're back and forth about it. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, well, the Torah says, Lo Sirtzach and Lo Sinach and all these Averis, Klum Kina Yesh Beinechem, do you have any feelings for each other? Are you ever jealous of each other? So what does it mean, lo sachmod? What is that going to mean to you? What does it mean, lo sirtzot? You can't kill each other. But the example Moshe Rabbeinu gives is there any jealousy between you? So why should you have the Torah? The Torah goes to us. Now there it seems to be an indication that there is no such thing as jealousy between malachim. There's only such a thing as jealousy between human beings. Here we seem to have a medrash. Here we seem to have a gemara that seems to indicate not so. So this is a troubling statement. Rabbi Kiva Eger there in the Gilyonei HaShas points us to another place by Nasa Adam B'Tzalmeinu Kidmusenu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took counsel with the malachim. So Rashi says, why did he take counsel before creating Adam HaRishon? Because he didn't want that the malachim should be mekanim. He didn't want that the malachim should have any tainas. Why it is that a human being was created that seems to be in some way a malach as well. So you see from all these various indications that there is this problem of kina not only by human beings, but it's something that in fact plagues the malachim as well, which is a very interesting thought. And how do you put that all together with the story by Kabbalah Satorah is an interesting question. But either way, you look later in the parsha, whether it applies to malachim or not, I guess is not really our business. But you look later on in the parsha and you have yet another story, another instance where there are two great figures in our parsha who are jealous of one another, and that is Rachel and Leah. Rachel is married to Yaakov Avinu. Leah is also married to Yaakov Avinu. Leah has children, and Rachel, unfortunately, is not able to have children. And the pasuk says there, Vatera Rachel ki lo yalda. Rachel realizes that something's wrong, that I'm not having children. Vatekane Rachel ba'achosa. Can't get more explicit than that. Rachel has kina. Rachel is jealous of the fact that her sister Leah is able to conceive, is able to have children, and she's left behind, and she's not able to have children. So Rashi in our parsha quotes the famous medrash that this pasuk is not to be taken literally. When it says that Rachel was jealous of his sister, it doesn't mean she was jealous like everybody else is jealous. It means that shekin asa b'maaseh hatovim. She was jealous of the fact that her sister must be such a great tzadikas, and that's why God is granting her children. Ilule hi tzadikas lahay seyaledus. If not for the fact that Leah was such a tzadikas, if not for the fact that she was on such an elevated plateau, on such a madriga, God would never have blessed her with children. Now, this doesn't mean to say that anybody we know that doesn't have children is obviously a Rasha. That's obviously not in our not in our business to say such a thing, and it's very inappropriate to make such cheshbonos. We don't decide the way God gives out his blessings in the world. But either way, here we have a pasuk where we're told on the surface that Rachel was jealous of her sister, and then Rashi comes from the Medrash and takes it out of context. Rashi says, no, it can't be that Rachel is really jealous. That's a terrible midah. It must be that Rachel was jealous of the fact that her sister was a great tzaddikas, and she obviously was not on that madriga. That's the way Rashi understands it. Now, I think this is worthy of being pointed out. If you look back in Parshas Chayisera, so the pasuk says over there, L'Rivka achu shmo Lavan. Rivka has a brother by the name of Lavan. Vayaratz Lavan el ha'ish achutza. Lavan runs outside to go and greet his guest. Who is his guest? Eliezer. Lavan goes outside. Pirish Rashi over there. Vayaratz. Why is he running outside? Lamaratz. Va'amaratz. What's he running about? What's he so excited about? So it says, Vayihi kirosas hanezem amar. He said, Asher huzeh. This man must be a very wealthy man. So he runs outside. Nasan einav b'mamon. He goes and he wants to see. Does he have any money with him? He wants to take all the money. Now, if you look at the psukim very carefully on face value, it seems to be very gracious. Lavan is going out of his way. He runs out of the house to usher in this guest. Not only that, the pasuk says after that, Bo Baruch Hashem, Lama Samad Bachutz, why are you standing outside? Anochi Panisias Habayis, I made room for you in the house. I got all the junk out of the way. I made a room for you to sleep in. Umakam Lagamalim, I made room for the camels as well. Why do we flip it and say that Lavan's a big Rasha and Lavan's only out for the money? That's not what the psukim seem to indicate. Sukkim are telling us a glowing report about Lavan. And then you think about when Yaakov Avinu comes to the house as well. What does it say? Vayi kishma Lavan es shma Yaakov ben Achoso. He hears that Yaakov Avinu, his nephew, is coming. So he goes outside to greet him. Vayachabeklo, and he hugs him. Vayanashiklo, and he kisses him. Vayavieu el beso. He ushers him into the house. And he welcomes him very warmly. And here once again, Rashi tells us, well, he thought that Yaakov Avinu must also be hiding some money. So Vayechabeklo, he tries to hug him to see, is he hiding anything in his pockets? When he realizes there's nothing there, Vayenashiklo, he kisses him to see, is there something that he's hiding in his mouth? And Vayevayel Beso, he pats him down. So why does Rashi take this out of context? Why can't we just say, Lavan wasn't so bad. Lavan once in a while did a good thing in his life. Lavan maybe ushers in a guest, maybe he was nice to him. Why do we have to take it so out of context and say this interpretation in the pasuk instead of the very simple interpretation, which is that Laban was a pretty good person, that Laban was willing to have guests come into his home, and not only that, he graciously invites them into his home. So I believe the answer is, the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Shmiras HaLashon. Chafetz Chaim there talks about in the Chelek on Lashon Hara, he says that we obviously have a mitzvah which is to be done other people a kaf zechus. We have to give people the benefit of the doubt. However, says the Chafetz Chaim, it depends who you're talking about. To be done someone the kaf zechus is not always the appropriate response. Says the Chafetz Chaim, in my opinion, again, who am I to have an opinion, but I would have said on my own, this is a tremendous chiddush. But the Chafetz Chaim suggested, and he says, he thinks this is the halacha. It depends who you're dealing with. When are you done someone the kaf zechus? That's only a person who deserves to be down the kapskos. That's only a person who otherwise we know to be a good person. But if you have somebody that you're dealing with that otherwise is known to be a Russia, not because they make mistakes here and there, but because they are a known bona fide Russia, no one can deny it, says the Chafetz Chaim, we're not down such a person the kapskos. The Chafetz Chaim writes, even if you see such a person and they do an act which can be seen in either direction, which can be interpreted in two different ways, you should interpret in the negative way because there's no way that that person is doing the right thing. And I think based on that principle of the Chafetz Chaim, which I think is a very surprising principle, but the Chafetz Chaim, again, who was the one who had such obvious Yisrael, the Chafetz Chaim, who was the one who brought Lashon Hara and Shmiras HaLashon to our consciousness, yet the Chafetz Chaim here writes so uncharacteristically that when you have the dealings with the Russia, you are not obligated and you're not permitted to be down the Kaf Zechus. And perhaps that's why the Medrash takes this out of context. Here we have a story in our parsha with Rachel Imenu. You read it on face value, about Tekane Rachel Ba'achosa. She has every reason to be jealous of her sister. That's human nature. What's so bad about that? But the Torah says no. That cannot be the pshat. Rachel Imenu is known to be a tzaddikus. Let's be down to the kaf zechus. It must be that it was only that she was jealous of her sister, not because we're all jealous of each other, but rather she was jealous of her sister because niskana b'maseo. She saw that her sister was a great tzaddikus. She was a great tzaddikus, and she wanted to emulate her ways. And yet the flip side, it has the adverse effect when you're talking about love on HaRasha, who's known to be a Rasha of the world. Then we don't have the right to be down in the Kapskos, even though the simple meaning of the psukim indicates that Lavan was a very gracious host and he calls everybody into his home. The Medrash goes out of its way to take it way out of context and say that no, this was a bad activity that Lavan did as well, because we don't have the right to be down the Kapskos when there's something that could be interpreted either way. It's a very surprising, you look on in Parshas Vayash as well. It's something that you find in Rashi. That's why I'm bringing it to our attention, because I think it's something to consider. As you read through Rashi in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, you encounter this many times. Let's say in Parshas Vayigash, so Yosef goes through the incredibly moving story with him and his brothers, and then we're told, "Velo yachol Yosef lehisapak lechol hanitzavim alav." Yosef can't hold it in anymore. He's so overcome with emotion. Vayikra hotziu kol ishmei alai. So he says he wants everybody to be taken out of the room. Now, if I would read that on the simple level, I would say, through the emotional roller coaster that Yosef has been through, and his brothers wanting to beat him up, and his brothers selling him down to Mitzrayim, and now everything turns on its head. Of course, how can you hold that in? Of course he wants everybody to leave the room because he's so emotionally overwhelmed by everything that's going on. He doesn't want to break down in front of everybody else. But yet Rashi takes it out of context once again, and Rashi tells in the name of Chazal, what it means is that he didn't want to humiliate his brothers in front of everybody else. He asked that everyone be taken out of the room because he was about to admit to them what was happening. He was about to reveal the fact that he was Yosef HaTzadik, that they were responsible for selling. He knew it would be a very embarrassing moment for them, and therefore he said, let's take everyone out of the room. Why does Rashi feel the need to do that? Why can't he just say Yosef HaTzadik was a normal human being, and Yosef HaTzadik wanted everyone to leave the room because he was about to have an emotional wreck. He was about to break down crying because of everything that happened. Yet Rashi says, we're danim lekaf zechus. Let's make an interpretation that makes him into a greater tzaddik. Why? Because we know that Yosef was such a great tzaddik in the first place. Why not continue on the story and say, that's also the interpretation in this pasuk? You go a little bit further in that story, and it says there, Vayipal atzavarei Binyamin. He falls on the shoulders of his brother, and him and Binyamin are crying on each other's shoulders. Now, on face value, why are they crying on each other's shoulders? Of course they're going to cry. You haven't seen your brother in so many years. This is the brother of the only remaining brother from your mother. Obviously, you're going to cry on his shoulders, but Rashi here clues us in once again. It's not what it means. Why is he crying on his brother's shoulders? Because Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean Beis HaMikdash? They're crying because they're crying, because they're brothers. When you're reunited with somebody you haven't seen in years and years after going through such an emotional roller coaster, of course you're going to cry. But no, Rashi says what it means here is they cried because of the Beis HaMikdash. And once again, you find, I think it's a recurrent theme. You look through Chumash with Rashi, you find Very often this is what we do, and perhaps it can be understood based on the interpretation of what the Chafetz Chaim tells us, that when you have a tzaddik, we try to be down the kav schus as much as possible, even though the context would seem to indicate otherwise. And when you have a Rasha, we go out of our way not to be down the kav schus because we have no reason to. We can assume everything the Rasha does is probably bad, unless it's clearly indicated otherwise, but everything the Rasha does is probably bad, and therefore we assume no reason to give them the benefit of the doubt. So here, we have Rachel is mekaneh ba'achosa, and the reason for that is because she feels like a kinas sofrim tarba chachma. She feels I have a lot that I can grow in my life. I can be like my sister Leah, and that will make me into a greater tzaddikus as well if I look up, if I emulate my sister, the great tzaddikus. So kinas sofrim is something that the Gemara discusses. That's the one kind of kina that we are allowed to have. Jealousy is a very destructive character trait, but yet, if we're jealous of somebody who's doing something greater than us in the area of Avodas Hashem, that's something we should emulate. That's something that we should be jealous of, and it's something that we should try to follow in their footsteps. So let's just close with this. One of the Chassidish Rebbes once said, how do you know if kina, if jealousy is really for the right reason or for the wrong reason? How do you know if it's kina sofrim, or how do you know if it's just regular humanistic jealousy that we feel at various periods in our life? So he said a very simple human observation. He says, well, you have to look, how does the person deal with it? He said, let's say communism. Communism wanted that everybody should be the same. And what should everybody be the same? Everybody should have nothing. That's what communism wanted. Not that everybody should have everything. Communism wants that everybody should have nothing. So there, in a case like that, that's jealousy that comes from an evil place. That's jealousy that doesn't lead to anything good. When you have a kinas sofrim, it's not that I want to be the great tzaddik and I want you to become a rasha. It's that, no, I want to be like you. I want that both of us should be elevated. That's the mark, that's the measure of knowing. How do we know when kina, how do we know when this jealousy that is portrayed from one person to another, how do we know when it's something positive, and how do we know when perhaps it's not positive at all? How do we know when it's negative? If the root of the jealousy leads a person to feel that nobody should have anything, that I want them to be knocked down, that's a horrible character trait, and that's something that could be extremely destructive, like the Mishnah says, motzina sa'odim in olam. On the other hand, when you have a jealousy which leads people to elevate themselves, to want to be equal with others, to want to be an equal partner in something great, that's something that we consider to be a kinas sofrim tarba chachma. That's something where we assume that would be absolutely permissible, as we read in this week's parsha by the story of Rachel and Leah.